long. Sharon has heard this on a few occasions now, because I've been sharing it around at different churches. I could really ask her to come and preach it for me, I think. Nah. So we continue in Hebrews 11. I won't read the whole passage because we're going to take some verses from verse 8 to verse 40. So, but I will refer to and read some sections of it as we go through this passage. And so in the first two studies, we've looked at the fact that there has to be a foundation on which we build our faith. Faith on its own has no effect, but faith in or on something becomes active faith. We can have faith in something or someone, but the faith we are seeking to build is on a firm and secure foundation. There are many people in this world today who put their faith in all sorts of things, in their careers, in their education, in their families. And that's not wrong. They're not wrong things. They put faith in their possessions, their vehicles, their homes, and so on. And they're not sins, they're not wrong things, but all those things will pass away. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're looking and understanding that we're placing our faith in someone who does not pass away. Someone who is a firm and secure foundation here and now in this realm of time, where we shall pass from, but one day we will be with him, of course, as he promises, as he's gone to prepare a place for us. So our faith is in God. And that is a great comfort, or it should be a great comfort to our souls and our hearts and our very minds and our very beings, because our faith is in someone who is secure and firm. And we obtain this through faith in his son Jesus. We accepted by faith that gift. When we look at the cross, when we look at Calvary, when we look at the birth of Jesus, when we look at his life, when we look at the cross, when we look at the death, we look at the resurrection. It's things we cannot fully understand. We cannot understand the miracle of salvation within each one of us as we cried out to him and received by faith. But it was by faith we received it, and it worked a miracle of salvation within each one of our lives. And each one of us today can be testament to the fact that having faith in God and his promise and his gift and his provision has produced something within us. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We might not feel like that sometimes, but the fact is we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we are his children. And it's because we had faith. And I want to encourage you this day that our faith should continue despite what goes on around, despite what difficulties that we often find ourselves in. And so as we continue in this chapter, we will just quickly consider some of the named people. If you read the whole chapter, there's lots of people mentioned, and it's all by faith they achieve things, and it's by faith there was things accomplished with them. So we're going to very briefly and quickly look over just a few who I think are significant people in this passage of Scripture. The first one is Abraham. Verse 8 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. This was truly faith. He didn't know where he was going. He heard what God had said, and so he stepped out. Abraham obeyed in faith. He traveled from Haran through Canaan into Egypt, spent some time in Bethel, but he was obedient to God's word. We have it recorded for us in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Just that statement there, just that instruction, was quite radical. Because, of course, he's in his own country and he's in his father's house. The custom would have been at that day that the families would stay together. And here God is saying, get out your country, get out from your father's house, and go to a land I will show you. And I'm not sure where you're going to go to. And it says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. Here's a promise coming in. And make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, these guys we look at are just ordinary people, but God uses them. And I think if we heard from God to say to us that leave your country, leave your home, and I'm going to take you somewhere, but I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to take you. But I just want you to go. And by the way, when you get there, I'm going to make a great nation of you. This took a great step of faith for Abraham. And during this time, he waited by faith for the promise. That's another lesson that we see here. God promises him something, but he doesn't see the fulfillment or partial fulfillment of that for many, many, many years. In verse 9 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, of course, we have the privilege of knowing the end of the story. We have the end of, we have the record for us in Scripture, but of course, he didn't know what was going to take place. And so it was a huge step of faith. And then we have Sarah, who had faith that God, what God had promised, would happen. And she indeed would bear a son in her old age. We're very briefly brushing over, looking at this, the time frame. We also see Abraham and Sarah questioning God's promise. Yet by faith, she conceived and bore a son who was Isaac. In verse 11 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. We see how the whole nation, the whole people of God, were formed, were brought into being from that promise. Not only that, the promise was that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So we see the promise affirmed that enabled them to have greater faith to believe what was promised would be fulfilled. Their faith was sustained even though they never saw the fullness of the promise. They saw it partially. They were part of the plan that God had for all generations. And they were part of the promise. And because of their faith, we today enjoy the fruit of the promise. You know, as I read these passages, as we read the Old Testament, we see God's plan. You know, we read in Genesis, we see the fall. We see the disobedience. We see sin entering in. And it looks hopeless. But because of God's great love for mankind, he had a plan. And it was outworked through generation into generation into generation. And we today, because of God's faithfulness to us and Abraham's faith in God, we today can know the provision that God has for each one of us. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confess they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What a wonderful promise they had. And it was in their faith, their believing, their trust in God, that they saw something of that great provision that God has. Their faith was not dependent on seeing the evidence of the promise. Truly, perhaps if they saw what was going to happen, they would not necessarily have faith, because it was going to happen anyway, if they'd seen it. But because they hadn't seen it, they had faith, but then they were not dependent on that. Their faith remained. You know, in many ways, when we read Scripture and we see the promises of God, we see the promise that one day we will be with Him in heaven. But we can't see it. We don't know what it's like. We have it explained in Scripture. But the promise is there, so we have faith to believe, because we're children of God, that when Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that you might be with me also," we believe it. We have faith to believe it. When we live in a world where there is so much science, so much technology, there's so many things going on, and scientists are dependent on proving things, either by maths or by experiment or whatever. But there is, even in science, there is an element of faith. But we don't have to have tangible things to see, but we believe His word. We believe His promise, just as Abraham believed His promise. Faith was required first, and as a result, there was a fruitfulness of the promise. We see how Sarah bore a child. Isaac was born. Their faith required obedience in the unseen, but believing the promise would be complete. We have to, in our faith, have obedience to receive from God, and we will see it. They confessed their faith. Faith confession must be constant, even though we may not see the evidence. And that's not burying your head in the sand. That is believing in the promise that God has given to us. Our hope and promise, as was theirs, is summed up in Hebrews 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be their God, for He has prepared a city for them. We have an assurance He's gone to prepare a place for you and me. One commentator sums it up like this: whether or not we receive what we confess, ask, pray, or hope for, does not change the behavior or the attitude, or it should not, of the steadfast believer. Faith's worship and walk do not depend on answered or unanswered prayers. Our confession of His Lordship in our lives to be consistent, a daily celebration with deep gratitude. Our faith in our God is not, or it should not be, dependent on seeing an answer. Yes, we see answers to our prayers. We are the greatest answer, perhaps, each one of us. Someone prayed for us, and we came to know Jesus as our Saviour and Lord. So we are the evidence of someone's prayer. We are the evidence of that great miracle of salvation. But it's our walk with Him, and our behaviour is not reliant on seeing those answered or unanswered prayers. If we had no answered prayers, or if He answered all our prayers, the fact is we should have faith and confess His Lordship of who He is. Abraham's faith was certainly tested in verse 17 and 19 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. When we look and we consider the account when Abraham took Isaac, God was testing him, testing Isaac, Abraham. Abraham had so much faith in God that he believed that even if he had to slay his only begotten son, that God would raise him up again. What a picture we see when God gives His only begotten son, that He would die at Calvary. die a cruel, cruel death. But God raises him up again. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph had faith to trust and to follow. And so Abraham, when he offers, when he goes to take his son, his only begotten son, it would seem that the plan is failing already. But no, because of Abraham's great faith, God provided. Indeed, Jacob and Joseph faced unjust treatment, but had faith in God and in the promise. Even when God seemed to have forgotten him, if you remember the account, he was thrown into prison. And even when he interpreted the dream to the chief butler, and he asked the chief butler to remember him when he was out of prison. But he forgot him, and it seemed as if he was deserted, and he could almost justify that. Where are you, God? Why have you forgotten me? No, he had faith to believe. And yet, because of Joseph's faith, he would, at the right time, God would use him mightily and eventually to save his people. In all of these, we see that they had faith and they obeyed God in all that they had been told. And yet, many did not see the fullness of the promise. Remember the first verse in chapter 11. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then faith of Moses, another significant person. And there are many significant persons in the people in the plan of God. But another significant person, Moses. The faith that Moses had was very significant. In part, the promise was fulfilled, although many did not see the land of promise. But the plan of God continued, and we see the type of the final sacrifice in the Passover, that Moses was faithful in obeying. In obeying God's command, God's instruction. Up to this point in this account, we have recorded for us all who had obeyed and had been part of the line who would bring us to the promise being sealed, or the covenant being set in place. This comes through Moses. God uses Moses to set a covenant in place, a promise to his people. And faith required obedience, and we see this in Moses. Moses' parents had faith. In verse 23 of Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. If you remember, the king was endeavoring to wipe out the firstborn of every family. And so he was, every child that was born, he was going to have them killed. Every male child. He was in danger. But his parents were not afraid of the king's command. They hid him in bulrushes, as we know. The king's command was that the midwives would kill any male children. And then Moses had faith. By faith, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction for the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked for the reward. In the natural, he could have had everything in Egypt. He was in a very privileged position. He was being brought up in the house of the ruler of that time. And he could have received everything. He would have wanted for nothing. But he chose to suffer affliction because he had faith in his God. He had total trust and faith. What a lesson that we perhaps need to learn sometimes in our own lives, when we seem to feel as if we're going through a hard time. And it would be easier to just go with the flow. But oh no, if we hold on to the promise of God and trust him. He refused the temporal things of Egypt. He suffered by faith, refusing to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith, he looked for the reward and treasures found in Christ. In verse 26, he says, for he looked to the reward. As I read this, I feel it's interesting to note He looked away from the things of Egypt, and he looked towards the things of eternal promise. It's very easy to look at the things that are around because we can see them. They are things that we can enjoy now. But all that we might look away from those things and we look to our God. I'm not talking about looking away because they're bad things. The things of this world are not bad. You know, our possessions are not bad. They're bad if we make them gods. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we keep our eyes fixed on that eternal promise, that eternal reward. When we look ahead, Moses could have looked around and seen what he could have had, but because he had a promise in God, he had faith to believe that it would be fulfilled. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes this, in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God." It cannot be compared. There is two extremes. The suffering cannot be compared to the great glory that we will receive in Christ. By faith, Moses left Egypt, knew a time of training in the desert. But being obedient, even though he could not see the outcome, his trust and faith was unshaken. Sometimes my faith was that secure. Maybe he did at times, we don't know. But it seems that his faith was total. Or that we might have that total faith. He could have complained, but his faith remained sure and steadfast. Yes, the people complained, but he remained secure. We have a hope that is sure. And despite what we may face in life, we can have a faith and a hope in someone who is steadfast and sure. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says this: "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." You know, that great provision that God made for us in his son Jesus, it removed the veil. What a wonderful privilege we have. We can come into his presence. We don't have to come to a high priest. We don't have to offer sacrifices. But we can come because once and for all, Jesus was that perfect sacrifice for you and me. And we receive it by faith. And we can enter in into his very presence behind the veil. And that leads us on to understand that faith produces the way of escape. Verse 28 of Hebrews 11, we have a significant milestone in the plan of God. A significant provision that was the type that was to come. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. By faith, the sprinkling of the blood, lest the firstborn should be put to death or should die. Moses, by faith, received and gave the instructions to the nation of Israel, who were in captivity. But because of their faith, because of the obedience to God's instruction, they knew a way of escape. They escaped from the captivity of Egypt. And they came in eventually to a promised land. God was to destroy the firstborn of the families of Egypt, but there was a way of escape provided. Here we have the faith of Moses, the faith of the people, and their obedience that resulted in deliverance from death. Of course, the Passover was a type of what was to come in God sending his only begotten Son, so that all who have faith and believe should be saved from certain death. We could almost say we've been saved from the land of Egypt and we've been brought in to a land of promise. By faith, the taking of a life of a lamb without blemish, this would cover them and make a way of escape. For after the final plague had covered Egypt, Pharaoh let the people go. It had to be a faith act that required total obedience. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. They went through the barrier that separated them from the land of promise. We know how they wandered in the wilderness because of their disobedience. But one day they, by faith, took the walls of Jericho. They went into the land. Jesus has made it possible through faith to be released from the land of bondage. He has removed the barrier so that we can enter the land of promise. Faith and obedience resulted in the promise being progressed. And the people enjoyed the promise that their fathers had been given. Through faith, God's plan moves to an eventual reward. Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, he says these words. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." And if we was to end it there, that's a pretty sad state. But then it says, "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." We've done a little bit of a whistle-stop tour of the passage of Hebrews 11, which recounts for us the plan of God for our lives, for our provision. We see how God, and because of the faith of people in their God, we have the provision. We can enjoy that provision today. And finally, faith enables them to overcome. It enables us to overcome. We face difficulties, yes, but in our faith, we can overcome those things in God. I'm going to read a few verses now because I thought I'd leave them out, but actually, there's a lot in them, so I'm going to read them anyway. And it enables, and many overcame because of faith, recorded for us in Hebrews 11. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days." Just before I continue, I realise that when you read these things, when I read these things, we could just read them and think, well, actually, yeah, just, okay, fine. But actually, when you stop and think of what was accomplished, we read the walls of Jericho falling down. That it was an immense thing to happen. And so as we read these things, it is by a faith in a great and mighty God. They saw these things and they were overcome. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, and yet they overcame. Their faith was strong in their God. We have, through faith, we see the faithfulness of God, and we have that gift ourselves today. In faith, we believe in God, and he is faithful to each one of us. We today have received the promise that was made to Abraham. Remember, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. We won't read it, but if you read the genealogy, leading us to Jesus, the Son of God, who died for you and me. Seeing the line from Abraham through all the many generations. And that is what God meant when he said to Abraham, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You and I can enjoy that great provision. And it was through their faith and through our faith in receiving. We need to come by faith. There are many things I don't understand, but I have a great faith in my God, who is faithful to me and to you. As we consider the line of those who had faith, this surely builds our faith in that through faith the promise of God is being fulfilled. And next time I speak, we'll be looking at the running the race of faith. And I trust that your faith has been encouraged, your faith is built up. And whilst perhaps we don't always see answers to our prayers in the here and now, one prayer has been answered. When we cried to him on that day when we said, I believe you, come, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. And by faith we received, and we were born again. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, all because of God's provision and the faithfulness of those who he had used in his plan to the fulfillment of that great provision at Calvary that we will celebrate in a few weeks' time, remembering his death and his resurrection, because God is faithful. Amen.